This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. We begin our hour this week with The Saint. We'll hear a schizophrenic psychiatrist, his story from September 18, 1949. After that, it's The Zero Hour and White Flame Burn Bright. That story first aired May 20th, 1974.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
Hello.
Who is... Oh.
How is my favorite shipboard acquaintance this evening?
Oh, Simon, you startled me. I could hardly see you through the fog here on deck.
Oh, yes, it is getting thicker, isn't it? But I suppose it's to be expected. Last night, nature went on a binge of moonshine, and this is her foggy morning after.
Oh. Only it's evening.
How can you tell through the fog? You know, you have a very pretty laugh, Barbara. I'll listen for it in all of your pictures from now on.
Thank you, Simon. But I'm not going to make any more pictures. I'm retiring.
Retiring? At the peak of your career?
I'm just tired of pictures, that's all.
Barbara, you'll never be able to run away from it.
What do you mean?
I'm referring to whatever it is that frightens you. Why don't you tell me about it, Barbara?
There's nothing to tell. I'm tired. I need a rest. Please, Simon, don't make me talk about it. There's some things that... Simon, is that someone standing there?
No. No, I don't see anyone. Oh, you are nervous.
Oh, Simon, if only I could confide in someone, if I could tell you what I...
Perhaps I already know more than you think I do. You're cold.
Yes.
Where's your wrap?
Over there someplace in one of those deck chairs.
I'll find it. I don't see it here, Barbara. Are you sure you... Barbara! Behind you! Look out! Barbara! Barbara! Man overboard! Man overboard!
Maybe you'd like a swim too, Saint.
What? Oh. Ooh.
Mr. Templer. Mr. Templer.
Hello. I suppose the usual question is, where am I?
Sometimes they awaken from your type of custom-made coma asking, who am I?
Evidently, I wasn't hit quite that hard. I even remember who you are, Dr. Norman. It is Dr. Norman, the celebrated psychiatrist, isn't it?
Yeah, that is very good, Templer, but I'm afraid I must still confine you here to the ship's infirmary for a while.
Huh?
A possible concussion, you know.
See, tell me, what makes a famous neurologist like you pose as a mere ship's doctor?
I'm really not posing. Partridge, the ship's physician, is ill.
Oh.
I was within earshot when I heard the familiar call, is there a doctor in the house? And no, Simon, don't try to get up. I have a flask here. If a drink will make you happy.
Oh, not right now, thank you. As I recall, I have some unfinished business to attend to.
Barbara?
Yes. Was she?
They couldn't find her in the fog. She's gone.
Poor Barbara.
Yes, it was a horrible accident.
Horrible, yes. Accident, no.
You mean to say she didn't fall overboard?
She was murdered.
Murdered? But who?
I think I know who. My head. It feels like the Aberdeen Proving Ground.
Yes, I will mix you a sedative. You know, you're not looking very well.
I always look like this when I'm angry. There's only one cure.
Yes, I know. The lady with the scales known as Madame Justice. You know, Templer, I've been curious about what makes a man like you tick.
Well, I'll tell you. every 8 days or so, someone winds me up. Right now, I'm wound up tight. Tight with fury.
But as a psychiatrist, I would advise you to unwind me. Here we are. Now, drink this. It will put you to sleep after a while.
Thank you.
You say you think you know who killed Barbara, Simon.
I was wrong. I do know.
Well, I think you ought to talk to me. Unwind yourself.
You think I need psychiatry, Doctor?
Well, I think you're too taut at the moment. That plus your concussion, it might be dangerous.
Very well, Doctor. I'll unwind. I'll tell you the entire story.
If you don't mind, Simon, here. This will help the rhythm. Huh? It's a metronome. Psychiatrists often use it. But if you'd rather...
No, I don't mind. I'd never met Barbara Brooks, although I doubt if there's a human being alive who hasn't heard of her or seen her in the movies. I first saw her the day we boarded ship. There was something in her expression, in the way she walked and talked and smiled, that immediately told me here was someone I should know. Her entire demeanor was an attitude of invitation.
A romance.
Fear, Doctor. She was a frightened lady. She wanted someone near her. I walked over to her there on deck and immediately made myself useful. Her steward evidently had become busy elsewhere, so I tipped my hat and said somewhat idiotically, get your program here, lady. You can't tell the staterooms without the numbers.
I beg your pardon?
Your steward seems to have deserted you. Oh. I've sailed this scow before, so if it's the direction to your stateroom you're looking
well,
for...
Well, I would like to know.
I would, too. Number, please.
A36 Main Deck.
Thank you very, very much. It's this way. My name's Templer. Simon, for short. And, of course, you're Barbara Brooks. You know, we passed the bar en route to A36 Main Deck. There's an old-fashioned with a new acquaintance sound inviting.
It will, a little later after... He's here on the ship.
Ooh, there are several... I see.
He's gone now, in the corner.
Yeah, I think I saw the man you meant. Certain off-center gentleman named Rader.
Rader? I don't know that name.
No, surely you've heard of Phil Rader. He's just as big a star in his line of work as you are in yours.
What is his line of work?
Well, he's an exterminator of human beings.
Mr. Templer, I'm afraid.
Well, that was obvious from the moment I first saw you. Why don't you tell me about it?
No, I can't. No, I'd be killed.
Good a reason as any for not telling me, but I must warn you, I have a peculiar talent for finding things out for myself.
Oh, no, you mustn't do anything. Please, please.
Hello, Raider.
Well, Miss Saint.
Mm-hmm.
World's getting smaller.
Yes. Yes, but I understand you're doing your share to see that it doesn't get overcrowded. Traveling for your health again, or just traveling?
Just traveling.
Raider, why does the mere glimpse of you rounding a corner start a lady's teeth to chattering?
Lady? I don't know any ladies.
Obviously.
Maybe she thought I was someone else.
Maybe. And if you're of a mind to annoy her, you'll wish you were.
Look, Saint, just soak up sunshine on this cruise. Don't go poking in any dark places. Might be bad.
Oh, what sort of bad, Raider?
Look, Big Shot, just so there's no misunderstanding. You butt in where you ain't welcome on this cruise and...
Yeah?
And I'll kill you.
How is your head, Sam?
And it feels as if a regimental crap game was going on inside of it with jet-propelled dice.
You haven't drunk your sedative yet, here.
Oh, thank you. Shall I go on taking the load off of my concussion?
Yes, by all means. I think I was present at the next sequence.
Yes, Doctor, you were. It was the night of that ridiculous costume ball ship's captains are so fond of arranging.
Yes. I remember, we were at the bar together. You were a pirate, I recall.
Yes, and you were a clown. The ball was loaded with clowns, some of them not even aware of their clownishness. But it was gay and sprightly, and the music was good. I remember our conversation, Doctor. You suddenly appeared at my elbow and said in the most shivery, sinister manner...
You know, Templer, I have a confession to make to you.
Well, I'm always interested in confessions, Doctor.
I've had a schoolboy crush on the beautiful Barbara ever since I saw her in pictures first. Tell me, what does one do about it?
Well, I know exactly what I would do if I were you, Doctor.
Yes?
I'd consult the nearest psychiatrist.
At the prices we charge? No, thank you. I was hoping you'd cut a fellow in on your acquaintanceship, Templar. But if you won't introduce me, won't you at least show me which mask she's hiding under? I think I might be able to make my own introduction.
Oh, very well, Doctor. Look for a sylph-like figure in a blue and yellow harlequin costume.
Thank you, Templar, thank you. And if you should ever need a good psychiatrist...
At the prices you charge?
I will be seeing you.
Don't turn around, Mr. Templar. I have a pistol in the small of your back.
Now, really, is that any way to enjoy a war?
Listen, Saint, and listen hard.
Oh, I'm all ears, except for the small of my back, which feels abnormally large at the moment.
Certain arrangements have been made, Saint. It means a big head of lettuce if they go through.
So?
All the signs say, keep out. See that you do. Now, don't turn around. This costume's so pretty, I'd hate to have to put a hole through my pocket.
Well, it's probably just a coincidence, but I've acquired the same regard for the small of my back.
Keep regarding it that way, Saint. Don't let your nose wander where it doesn't belong. And you might begin by forgetting you saw certain people aboard this boat.
See, just tell me how you're going to swing it, Mrs. Miller. Oh, don't be surprised. I'd recognize the notorious Lil Miller's voice on a party line. How are you going to take him, Lil? A palm base or perhaps a marked deck?
This rod has a hair trigger, Saint. Just a touch and you're...
Lil, what's the matter?
That girl there, the one in the hall.
Lil.
You're lucky, Saint. I'd have shot.
Give her air. Don't crowd.
Crowd her all you want to. She won't mind now.
Is she?
Yes, a stiletto in the back leaves very little doubt. She's dead.
You know, Simon, I would never have pegged the late Mrs. Miller for a professional card sharp. She was anything but the type.
Professional card sharps are always anything but the type, Doctor.
Yeah. And to think I actually played bridge with her myself. With a crook and a hot-headed one, in fact.
Well, as my old grandmother used to say, Doctor, beware of lady thieves with red hair.
I guess the lady's red hair accounted for the lack of insulation in her temperament. Oh, how does your head feel, Simon?
Better, Doctor. Much better.
You still haven't touched your sedative, you know.
Oh, haven't I?
I think you'll find that it helps, Simon. Here.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, shortly after the murder of Mrs. Miller, Doctor, I called on her bereaved husband and partner in crime. A very interesting visit it was, too.
You have the knack for making all of your visits interesting, Simon. Tell me about it.
Well, I found Miller in the bar, quenching his sorrow with the merry waters of the River of Forgetfulness.
$50,000 in the palm of our hands and beep. No more Lil. No more Lil, no more sucker. No more sucker, beep. No more $50,000.
I see you valued your wife highly. Who was the sucker, Miller?
Ha ha, you're funny.
Tell me, what's Phil Rader cruising for, Miller? And don't tell me it's a coincidence he's on board the same ship.
You get funnier and funnier.
Why is Barbara Brooks so afraid of Rader?
You ain't even warm, Saint. You're a mile wide of the target.
Well, I'd better use a different kind of ammunition then, Miller.
Yeah? Like what?
Like a little murder performed on an unwilling sucker in Reno.
Huh? What do you know about that?
You won't like going back to Reno, Miller. It gets hot in the summertime, especially in the penitentiary.
Rader was with Lil and me on this deal.
All right, Miller, put the zipper on.
Rader, I wasn't going to say anything. Phil, honest, I was just...
Skip it, Miller. I always knew someday you'd show canary yellow. I thought you and I had a little understanding, Saint.
You've got a reputation for wrong thoughts, Rader.
Yeah, but right or wrong, I back my ideas up. To the hilt, Saint.
Keep that frog sticker undercover, Rader, or I might take it away from you. And the Dutch courage that rides with it, too.
I'll keep it hidden for now. You just be careful of the places where the lights don't shine, Saint. Come on, Miller, I want to talk with you.
Well, I'll be out in a little while, Phil. I want a drink.
You're drunk enough, Canary. Come on.
You'd better go, Miller. And if you can't talk your way out of it, my regards to the fishes.
And I recall, it was shortly after Mr. Leder passed on his second warning that you and I met for the first time professionally.
Yes, Doctor, the very next night.
Well, I am very surprised at you. He had warned you to stay away from Doc Leder.
Yes, Doctor, so he had. But I'm perverse by nature, and I like to poke around. I was strolling around the deck with Barbara, getting moonburned and trying desperately to get some more information.
So wonderful having you near, Simon. I feel safe.
Safe? I refuse to accept the compliment, particularly on a moonlit night at sea.
I'm referring to danger, Simon, not romance.
They're often the very same thing. I'd like to join the team, Barbara. Why don't you confide in me?
Because if I did, we'd both be dead by morning. I must go now. Good night, Simon.
Good night.
Don't turn around, Templar. I've got a...
I know. A gun pointed at the small of my back.
That's it. Now keep away from Barbara Brooks. Am I clear?
Clear enough. Anything else?
Yeah. Just so it sinks in, Saint. Take this along to remember me by.
Once again, you enter the picture, Dr. Norman. You found me there, lying on the deck, basking in moonlight.
And blood. Go on, Simon. Tell me the rest of it.
Well, after your neat job of vulcanizing me, thus saving me a trip to the ship's doctor and innumerable words of explanation, I hit upon a strategy, and my next visit found me calling in the lion's den. I tell you, you're being made a patsy raider. You're on the verge of being demoted back to second-class hoodlum.
I can take care of myself.
Well, I admit a minor sandbagging committed in your good name doesn't amount to much, raider. But what if the same someone likes your name and decides to use it in other ways?
What do you mean?
I mean murder. You're a lead pipe cinch to pay for one of your own someday, Raider. But meanwhile, how would you feel getting hung for somebody else's shenanigans?
I'd be annoyed.
You sure would.
Look, I'm not rigged up with no murder saint. Lil meant 50 grand to us alive. That's what we figured the sucker was good for.
That's a good enough reason for wanting Lil among the present instead of the late, Raider. Tell me, what was the angle? Blackmail?
Nah, nothing so crude, saint. I sponsor the party, spot him, finger him, and oil him, and the millers squeeze him through a deck of cards. Guy's a sucker for good-looking dames and card games, that's all.
That sounds very uncomplicated. Easy picking.
The guy ain't had the coin long enough to be smart about it.
Who's the guy?
Yeah, he makes water heaters.
Oh, the fat man with the diamonds from Passaic.
Yeah, that's the sucker.
I should have tumbled.
Looks like you did. I thought you were out for a bust-up. 50 G's a lot of money, Saint. I figured if I could scare you, it'd be insurance.
How about Barbara Brooks?
Deal me out. I'm not in on whatever the caper is there.
She saw you the day we sailed, and she got scared.
Well, maybe it's because I ain't exactly pretty.
Yeah.
But if you really want to know something, Saint, I'll tell you. I was propositioned on a stunt against that dame a few weeks before we sailed. I turned it down. A big dough, too.
A murder deal?
Yeah, big dough to bump her off. Not for me, though. Nah, she's too prominent. Too much heat on those jobs.
Who made the offer, Raider?
He wasn't exactly interested in leaving his calling card, Saint. Just a John Smith, as far as I'm concerned.
But he had a description, didn't he? Everybody has a description.
Well, sure. He was a medium-sized guy with... Hey, the lights. Who turned them off?
Get down! Raider, are you...
Brown tie, blue shirt.
Brown tie, blue shirt. Not a very harmonious color scheme, is it? Raider.
Yeah.
Thank you, Raider. At least your last earthly utterance was in the direction of good. Thank you.
Brown tie, blue shirt. What did he mean, Simon?
Well, it means that either the man for whom I search isn't a very fastidious dresser, Doctor, or else...
Or else
he's colorblind. Blue and brown just aren't worn together.
Well, no, they...
I'll take that drink now, Doctor.
Oh, and the sedative I mixed for you. Your concussion.
Later, Doctor, later.
Very well. I can see that you're going to be a very difficult patient. I hope you don't mind drinking out of another medicine glass, eh?
No, right now I prefer it.
Say when?
A little more, Doctor. That's fine. It has such a beautiful color, hasn't it, Doctor?
Yeah, hasn't it, though? Aren't you going to drink it, Simon?
In a moment, Doctor, when I finish my story.
Oh, yes, of course, the story. Barbara's murder was next.
Yes, huh? Barbara was next. But immediately before our last meeting on deck in the fog, Doctor, I found out what she was afraid of.
You did? But how?
It was easy. The steward had some keys. I had some money. The steward has enough now for that chicken ranch he's always dreamed of.
You broke into Barbara's stateroom.
Yes.
Well, what did you find, Simon?
Oh, lingerie, perfume, stockings, and some letters, Doctor. Peculiar letters.
Huh? Fan mail?
Yes. Yes, and all from the same fan. A fan she was once engaged to marry, Doctor. A fan who loved her very much and hated her in equal proportions. Who was so torn between love and hate, he had to kill her.
Schizophrenic.
You should know.
What do you mean?
Well, you know the classifications. You're the doctor.
Oh. Drink your sedative, Simon.
A colorblind schizophrenic. I don't believe I've ever met one before, Dr. Norman. So colorblind, he mistook the green and orange harlequin costume worn by Lil Miller for the blue and yellow one worn by Barbara.
That is very interesting, Simon.
Poor Lil. If she'd come to the ball as anything but a harlequin, she'd have lived to take in $50,000.
Your sedative, Simon.
You know, you were wrong about Lil's hair, Doctor. It wasn't red. It was brown.
You said it was red.
I wanted to see if you'd agree.
Your sedative.
Yes, of course. Hand it to me, would you, Doctor? It's there alongside the drink.
Yeah.
No, don't try to tell them apart by their aromas, Doctor. It's obvious that they're different colors. Or can't you tell?
You find it, Saint. I'd like very much for you to drink it.
My doctor, what a pretty purple gun you're wearing. Or is it pink?
Drink up, Tipler. You hardly feel it. It's just a dash of prussic acid.
Dr. Norman, when you give a sedative, you go overboard.
Drink it, Tipler.
Well, you're the doctor. Toast to you, Dr. Norman. To your green shirt, blue tie, and gray handkerchief. None of which match. Here's how.
Oh, my eyes! You threw it in my eyes!
It was a question of your eyes or my stomach, Doctor.
My eyes, I'm blind!
You'll get over it, Doctor, which is more than can be said of me if one of those wild shots of yours should hit me. I know I shouldn't practice medicine without a license, Doctor, any more than you should. But here's a sedative from me to you. Pleasant nightmares, Dr. Norman.
You have been listening to another adventure of the Saint. The Robin Hood of modern crime. And now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a prejudice-filled America, no one would be secure in his job, his business, his church, or his home. Yet racial and religious antagonisms are exploited daily by quacks and adventurers whose followers make up the irresponsible lunatic fringe of American life. Refuse to listen to or spread rumors against any race or religion. Help to stamp out prejudice in our country. Let's judge our neighbors by the character of their lives alone, and not on the basis of their religion or origin. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
Saint was written by Michael Cramoy. Our cast included Betty Lou Gerson, Gene Bates, Frank Gerstle, Bill Conrad, and Barney Phillips. The music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Saphir production and is directed by Thomas A. McAvity. Vincent Price is soon to be seen in Harry M. Popkin's production of Champagne for Caesar, co-starring Ronald Coleman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Merrill Ross. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Serling, you're listening to the Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Glenn Hall Taylor's macabre adventure in pyromania. White flame burning bright. Starring Lyle Waggoner. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company, Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, Shenley Industries, Matus Wine, and Kodak. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
With the littlest, newest pocket instamatic camera, a roll of color film, magic cubes, extender, carrying case, and everything you need for smile saving for less than $30. The Kodak Pocket Smile Saver Kit. You'll find it at your photo dealers for a limited time only.
So, a smiling face can go just any place. You know the moon's a million miles away.
Arson, a terrifying word, even to those whose everyday job it is to seek out and combat its perpetrators. Sometimes arson is the work of evildoers in a so-called respectable strata of society. At other times, as in the present case, it is plotted in sordid surroundings, such as the dingy, rundown flat in a dying section of a big city, occupied by Red Wheeling and his wife, Marge. Now it is early evening. Red in a soiled, threadbare bathrobe and Marge in a faded housecoat are seated at the old-fashioned oak dining table.
Shuffle the deck, Marge.
Oh, Red, I want to finish the funny.
Oh, come on, shuffle.
Okay.
Good. Now cut them. Now look at the top card.
Yeah?
Now remember it and put it back in the deck. All right, now I'll shuffle again.
Okay.
Now, I haven't touched the cards, have I?
No.
Okay, count down three cards.
One, two, three.
Now, the next card is yours. Turn it face up.
That's the wrong card.
Well, it can't be. The book says the card will be the one right...
Hey, is that
right
you,
at...
Mom?
Yeah.
Well, hello, Mrs. Davis.
Well, what's with the bathrobe, Brent?
Oh, I was just resting.
Resting? From what? Oh, now, Mom, will you go get dressed?
What for?
I found a job for you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I got two or three things lined up for myself. That
yeah,
I was...
and you've been handing me that line for the past 6 months. 6 months in which you've been putting the bite on me for food and rent. Now, I've had it. Now, go get dressed.
Well, wait a minute, Mrs. Davis. What is this job?
You know that warehouse at Fifth and Bedford?
Yeah?
Well, I just made a deal for you with a guy who's tied in with it.
Well, I don't want to work in no warehouse.
You don't have to work there. All you gotta do is burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
This is Chief O'Connell. I'm calling from the warehouse fire at 15th and Bedford. It's a good chance this might be arson. Send over a couple of your best men, huh? Yeah, right. Out.
Chief O'Connell?
Right.
I'm Clem York, arson investigation.
Hi.
And I'm Bill Walker, also arson investigation chief.
Hi. Glad you got over so quickly. The alarm came in about a half an hour ago. We don't know how long it was before it was turned in that the blaze started, but it couldn't have been too long.
Yeah, looks like you've got it under control here.
Yeah, we were lucky. Could have been a whopper. Flames are out, but we're checking for hot spots and doing some precautionary operations.
Chief, what made you suspect it was arson?
Oh, I got it right here in my car. Yeah, this piece of glass. It's from one of those lower windows there. Doesn't look like ordinary smoke to me. I think it's from some chemical or some other material that develops an intense heat.
I think you're right. What do you make of it, Bill?
Well, I hesitate to guess, but my hunch is that the smoke was from something highly volatile, though.
Well, we'll take it with us and get it into the lab. I'll make some scrapings of the smoke and get it under the microscope. Probably photograph this stuff.
Good, good.
Is it cool enough over there for us to get close and poke around a bit?
Well, yeah, but be careful, huh?
Oh, by the way, Chief, any witnesses around when it started?
No, I haven't found any so far. I've asked the police who are holding back the crowd and guarding the intersections to ask around.
Well, let us know, will you?
Yeah, will do. See you later.
Hello?
Mark, Red home yet?
Oh, hi, Mom. No, he isn't.
Well, he should have been home an hour ago.
Yeah, well, maybe he forgot to take the matches with him.
That wouldn't surprise me. Look, when he comes in...
Oh, wait a sec. That you, Red?
Yeah, honey.
He just came in. I'll put him on. Hey, here.
Well, who is it?
It's Mom. She wants to talk to you.
What about?
I don't know. Talk to her and find out.
Hi, Mrs. Davis.
What kept you?
Well, I went to the magic store.
Where?
The magic store. The fella just got in some new tricks.
Oh, jeez. Will you never grow up? Do you know how long I've been waiting to hear how the job went?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Davis. The job went okay.
Did the place burn down?
Well, it must have. When I left, the whole sky was lit up, and there were a lot of fire engines, too.
Anyone see you?
Well, of course not, Mrs. Davis.
Good.
Oh, Mrs. Davis, when do I get paid?
I'm collecting from the man tomorrow morning.
Would you bring my share over early, huh?
What's your rush?
Well, I want to buy some of those tricks before the guy at the magic store sells them to somebody else.
Oh, brother.
Hello? Hello? She hung up.
Hello, Mr. Know-it-all here, the man who knows everything about everything.
How long did it take Michelangelo to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel?
4.5 years. Too bad he didn't have a roller. Hello, Mr. Know-it-all.
What's the fastest service in tennis history?
Forest Hills, 1962. You got pizza in 5 minutes, a hot dog in 3. Hello, Mr. Know-it-all.
Can you name the 50 states in alphabetical order?
Sure can. Hello, Mr. Know-it-all.
What car from a major U.S. manufacturer offers you the smallest displacement four-cylinder engine for gas economy and outsells any import?
Oh, well, it's the...
Ford Pinto.
I didn't know that.
Well, did you know that all Pintos come with an economical 4-speed manual shift standard while you have to pay extra for it on a Vega?
No, I didn't know that either.
Well, now that you know, stop in at your local Ford dealer.
Over the last 5 years, Ford dealers have sold more small cars, cars with wheelbases of less than 112 inches, than any other single group of dealers in America. Come see your local Ford dealer. He's Small Car Headquarters.
Hello. Mr. Know-it-all just left for his Ford dealer.
Arson, Clem York speaking. Oh, yeah, Bill Walker and I are working on that case. What'd you find out? That cinches it. It's arson, all right. Yeah, thanks, pal.
Got something, huh?
Yeah, the smoke on that glass was from magnesium.
Real fireworks.
You're not kidding. And there was nothing in that warehouse with a magnesium base.
Well, that might tie in with something I got last night. A kid who'd been watching the fire told me he'd seen a guy hanging around the warehouse about 6 o'clock last evening. He threw away some cardboard boxes.
Did the kid remember what the guy looked like?
Well, just that he had red hair, was a young guy, maybe 25 or 30. He said another kid picked up the boxes. Kid I talked to said he'd get in touch with his pal and get the boxes for me, if his pal still has them. I told him I'd check with him this afternoon.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Meanwhile, I'll call identification down to PD and get some mugshots on all the known red-headed arsonists. Well, we could show them to the kids. Maybe we'll turn up something.
Gee, Marge, I just come from the magic store. Wait till you see my new trick. It's real far out.
Oh, Red, can't you see that I'm reading?
Why, it'll only take a minute. Look.
Well, what's it supposed to be?
Well, it's just two rings, one inside the other. Here, see if you can take them apart. That's the trick.
Oh, but for crying out loud, Red, I can't make it work.
Oh, it's easy. Here, give me. Now, wait a minute, Marge. I can do it. Let's see.
Some genius.
Yes, well, that's funny. It worked at the store.
You hear that?
Yeah, right here, Mrs. Davis.
You stupid jerk. You mental midget.
Well, what's wrong, Mrs. Davis?
I send you out on a simple little job, and you blow it.
What are you talking about? I did the job. I set fire to the warehouse.
You set fire to a warehouse. I told you 5th and Bedford. You set fire to a warehouse at 15th and Bedford. You burned down the wrong joint.
Did you find that other kid, Bill?
Yeah, he still had the boxes, too. They're over there on the table. The stickers on them indicate they came from Newton's Sporting Goods shop on Main Street. They contain signal flares, you know, like yachtsmen use.
Magnesium. Did you check with him?
There was only one clerk on duty, and he hadn't sold any flares in the past few days.
Well, I think we better try again. Find out if a red-headed guy bought any more flares this afternoon.
Why?
There was another warehouse fire while you were out, and this time at 5th and Bedford. Might be more than a coincidence. They saw a brilliant white flame when the fire broke out. Could mean that magnesium was used again.
Yeah, sounds like it.
By the way, did that second kid recognize any of the pictures?
No, but I did get a character clue on our suspect.
What kind?
Well, a red-headed guy had a deck of cards with him. He tried to show the kid some tricks, but he couldn't do them.
I could make him anything from a would-be card sharp to just some kind of a show-off. I guess all we can do now is wait for that sporting goods store to open in the morning.
Where's Red? He's out. Picking up some new tricks, I suppose. There's one trick I wish that jerk would learn.
Why, what's that?
How to make himself disappear. It'd sure make life easier.
Oh, Mom, why are you always picking on him? So he made a little mistake.
Little mistake? He made a king-size boo-boo. The guy that wanted the warehouse at 5th and Bedford burned down paid good money for the job.
Hey, why did he want it burned down?
Well, it's his racket. He buys a lot of stuff on consignment and puts it in the warehouse. Now, just before the fire, he has it moved out. Everybody thinks the stuff is burned, so he declares bankruptcy to get out of hock and then sells the stuff to a fence and keeps the money.
Oh. Well, then everything's going to be all right.
How can you say that?
Well, the reason Red's not here is that he went out to make things right for you.
How? Oh.
He left to burn down the 5th and Bedford warehouse. Now, that ought to make you proud of him.
Oh, no.
Why, what's the matter?
That's Jughead. He's really fixed it now.
What do you mean? He's setting the fire you wanted.
When Red burned the wrong building, the guy figured the deal was off and moved all the stuff back into the warehouse this morning. Ooh, now he'll really be bankrupt.
Matus is a rosé wine imported from the old world to go with everything good. It has a light, easy-to-like taste, so it makes good food even better. Good people, friendlier. And good times, well, just try some and see.
Try some and you'll see.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York. To be any kind of wine you want it to be.
Hey, 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 Matus Rosé.
Thank you.
to me, it's a window glass from the second fire, Bill. Magnesium. Yeah, it's got to be the same firebug.
We got a fix on him. His name's Charles Wheeling, alias Red Wheeling.
How'd you come up with that?
I went back to Sporting Goods store this morning and showed him the mug shots. One of the clerks identified him. And to cinch it, the store just put that brand in stock this week.
Did you find out where he lives?
Well, the closest I could come was to locate where he lived 6 months ago. No forwarding address, naturally. Should we have the police put out an APB on him?
And there might be a way to find him sooner.
Oh, how?
I checked on the owner of the second warehouse that was burned. Turns out it's owned by a dummy corporation.
So they had a convenient fire.
Yeah, could be. Now, if they did, and if Wheeling was hired to do the job, getting that owner's name could clear up this case. The incorporation papers are being looked up right now.
Mr. York?
Yeah, right over here.
I'm from Identification Bureau. These were sent over to us by Fire Chief O'Connell.
What are those things?
One of those puzzles that has two rings you're supposed to separate. You can figure it out. They were found in the warehouse that burnt yesterday.
Well, how come the fire didn't blacken that chrome?
Well, they were found under a packing case. I guess the flames never got to them. It's all in that report, sir.
Okay, we'll study it. And thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, good luck with it.
Yeah, let's take a look at it.
Now, for one thing, they pulled some prints off the rings. Yeah, they're Wheeling's all right.
Which definitely places him in the building prior to the fire.
But we still have to find him.
I got an idea. Let's have copies of this picture made. We'll send them to the police in the 19th and 20th precincts.
Well, why only those two, Bill?
Well, Wheeling's last known address was in the 19th, right?
Right.
And the shop where he bought the flares was in the 20th.
Yeah.
The way I figure it, he must be somewhere in the area of the 19th and 20th. Now, he wouldn't go all the way back to his old neighborhood to buy signal flares.
Hey, I just thought of something.
Oh, what?
Didn't you say one of those kids you talked to said the redheaded guy was trying to do some playing card tricks?
That's right.
All right, now, before we give the police the pictures, let's look in the yellow pages, find out what trick stores or magic shops are in that 19th and 20th precincts. Maybe we could pull something out of the hat ourselves.
You guys home?
In here,
Mom. In here, Mrs. Davis.
How long will it take you back?
Back? What for, Mrs. Davis?
That warehouse guy is gunning for us. We gotta split. We gotta get out of town fast.
Look, but why should we run away from the warehouse guy? I burnt down his building for him.
Yeah, and everything he owned with it. He's got a gun. That's why we should run away from him. He wants to make little round holes in your big square head.
Oh, well, okay, Mrs. Davis, but you don't have to get so nervous. I'll go. You just stay here.
Stay here? You idiot. He's after me, too.
Oh, that's terrible, Mrs. Davis. He can't shoot a woman.
Oh, Red, oh, please, come on, now get going. A man like that'll shoot anybody. The warehouse man.
Nah, it's the cab driver. I brought you some extra bags. He's bringing them up. What do you think you're doing?
Well, I don't want to leave my cards and puzzles and tricks behind. They're in this drawer with my socks.
Come in. Come in. There ain't locked.
Hello?
You ain't the cab driver.
No, ma'am. I'm from the fire department. I'm arson investigator Bill Walker. Here's my ID. This is my partner, Clem York.
What do you want?
We want Red Wheeling.
I'm Red Wheeling. Well, what do you want me for?
We have a warrant for your arrest.
You...
Mrs. Davis.
You know my name?
Yeah, we have your name on a warrant, too.
You certainly don't have a warrant for me.
No, but you better stay in town. We'll want you as a material witness.
Now, way to cut and pick a minute, you guys. You can't Oh, hell, fellas. This isn't a real gun. Look. When you pull the trigger, the barrel opens up and a little flag rolls down, and it's got a sign on it that says, bang.
Oh, you're really something else, Red. You didn't give a damn whether or not those fires you set might have killed people. But now you make the scene with a gun that's only a trick one.
Oh, I got a lot of tricks. Hey, look at these cards. Now, give me a number from 1 to 10.
10. It's a good round number, Red. In years. And I think you're going to get it. Frisk him, Bill.
Yeah.
Just in case he's got something up his sleeve. Then we'll get the cuffs on him and Mrs. Davis. And we'll take him downtown.
I work, dig, and ditch, and I'll never get rich, but I've learned me a lesson or two. you judge a good man by the dirt on his hands and beech nuts the tobacco you chew. Since I was a kid, each thing that I did helped teach me what I'm telling you. When you fight, it's to win. When you're right, don't give in. And beech nuts the tobacco you chew. The great thing about being raised around here is they raise you on beech nuts chewing tobacco. Like they say, beech nuts the tobacco to chew, cause it just keeps on getting better, moister, more satisfying. Beech nuts all you ever need to learn about chewing tobacco. Now, Poppy might yell, but he taught us kids well, and most things he said I still do. I live by my word, don't repeat what I've heard, and beech nuts the tobacco I chew.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes, exercise your imagination, and join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
White Flame Burning Bright is a radio drama adapted by Glenn Hall Taylor. Lyle Waggoner was heard as Red Wheeler. Featured in the cast were Barbara Bowles, Bibby Janis, Herb Vigran, Jerry Dexter, and Bill Lovett. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Colas, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System, Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley B. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to visit RelicRadio.com. You can find more from The Saint, The Zero Hour, this podcast, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else Relic Radio. RelicRadio.com for all of that. You can also donate while you're at the website, or visit donate.RelicRadio.com to go to the donation page. Your support makes all of this happen. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of The Relic Radio Show.